is to your health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. To Your Health keeps you informed on all the health issues facing our country. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Roger Galloway, and we're really glad to be here with another To Your Health program. Dr. Kingsley is with us here in the room, of course, and we're going to talk about something that's been in the news, not only locally, but statewide and nationally as well, something that happened in our county. You want to explain?
Yeah, welcome. So again, Dr. Chad Kingsley, Director of Public Health Department, and with me today I also have Lynn Valentine, Nursing Services Manager, who is helping in this response that we're going to be talking about, and we're going to be talking about tuberculosis. In that too, just a quick summary of the county. Things are going well in the county. We were just recently up in Colorado City. A lot of people don't know that it's our fourth incorporated city.
Right.
Besides Kingman, Bullhead City, and Lake Havasu, Colorado City up on the Utah border.
Oh, what type of population is it compared to?
You know, it varies, just different things, but a little over 10,000.
Okay.
And they think a little bit more than that. There were some problems with the census last time, but over 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
It sits right on the border, too, so there's a certain portion that is also in Hilldale, which is on the other side. The town is actually dissected by the border stuff, but we had a great back-to-school fair, health fair, that we were able to participate in, and there's a Mojave Community College campus there too, so we had a meeting afterwards for behavioral crisis. Some great community actions going on there. There's been some great recent reports from news from it too, so
Colorado City is kind of an enigma to so many people in our area, Bullhead City and Kingman and Lake Havasu City, where we're broadcasting and people can hear us right now, and they don't know too much about it. But it's pretty far from Kingman, isn't it, on drive-wise?
Drive-wise, yeah. And the sheriff actually has a plane for transporting sustenance. Sometimes we're able to fly up there, and it's only about a 40-minute flight, actually, because you go right over the Grand Canyon. But because the Grand Canyon, the quickest way to get there is actually going through Las Vegas, St. George. It's about a 4.5-hour drive. If you go through Flagstaff, it's about 6.5 hours. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's a big barrier there. And the people there, they actually call the Grand Canyon the Big Ditch. That's the comment that they refer to it, you know, as kind of lovingly referred to it.
I was going
to
say, with love.
Yeah, with love. They do. It's a very endearing term for them. So, yeah.
All right. Well, our big topic made the news. TB.
Yep.
Hard to believe. Well, a long time it was known as consumption. Some people still call it that, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you watch any Western... grandparents have the Western Channel, and consumption's part of it. I think it's probably half of the Western shows had consumption in it, yeah. Tuberculosis.
Before we get into this particular case, and can we do just a little bit of history on it, on TB? I mean, it's actually been around for thousands of years, am I right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
They actually have found the TB bacteria in some of the pharaohs, the mummies, back in Egypt. When they've dug them up and they found the bacteria within the pharaoh. So it's been around for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
And it was the number one killer of people throughout the world for many, many years. But fortunately, within the past 100 years, antibiotics we've discovered can fight it, can cure it. But it was probably one of the, if not the number one public health threat to humans for thousands of years.
And it's kind of gone into the background. We don't hear a lot about it in recent years, but we have a case that broke out in our county.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and it's a lot slower infection compared to other infections out there. And because we're able to treat it, but the treatment is also very long too, or whatever, you know, we've been able to control it, but as we've seen recently, you know, from different cases across the nation, we have malaria back again, and we even have leprosy was in the news. But tuberculosis also isn't going away, you know, so we do have preventative measures that are actually enshrined in law in our Arizona revised statutes that have us to be able to respond and treat tuberculosis. Like Lynn said, it's been around since humanity's been around, it seems. So we have a good way to respond to it. So,
where did this case break out? Can we say?
in the Bullhead City area.
All right.
And just as a side note, we do have roughly, we don't have a high rate of TB, active TB cases within Mojave County, but we have roughly 1 to 2 every year. So for us, an active TB case isn't necessarily rare or unusual. What's so unusual or significant about this specific case is the amount of potential exposures to this active TB case.
Can you say why?
The person was in a community setting and at a local school, and of course there were potentially hundreds of people who were exposed.
Can we say how old this person was, or approximate age, or no?
We just like to refer to it as a individual who was at a school.
Why did it make the news? Why? Because it appears to be rare, at least, to the news gathering forces, right?
TB is not unusual, but because of, just like what Dr. Kingsley had referred to, all of the public health measures, the antibiotics, it's not uncommon. But it's very well controlled now, active TB is. But again, this case, because of how many exposures it's caused, that's what's really significant.
And I would add to that, it was in a school setting. Anytime you have exposures, and they know that in a school setting, the numbers go up.
Sure.
It's contagious. It's been released, so it was at Diamondback Elementary School. So it wasn't even a high school. You're considering grades, kindergarten to fifth grade there. So you're looking at the exposure in children and then families and such things. And there's, there's different levels of exposures. There's ones that are higher risk, and there's ones that are mean risk, but we need to check all of them. So.
How did you discover that this person had TB?
So every active TB case that's diagnosed by Arizona state law, and I'm safe to say that in probably most, if not all, of the other states, it's required by law to report that active case to the local health authorities. So we are aware of every active TB case that's diagnosed within Mojave County, and then we have to respond accordingly. So just like with any of our other communicable diseases that are reported, we start an investigation. We start with the person, and we work out from that person as far as their contacts, who was the closest contacts, and who else were they exposed to, and so on and so forth.
Well, how did... I'm assuming, I could be wrong, but let's say a teacher discovered that this child might have TB. What are the signs? What are the things that indicate that this is what it might be?
Active TB, so just to make the designation, there's two different types of TB infection. There is what we call latent TB infection, which means that a person's been exposed to the TB germs. The TB germs are inside that person's body. But the person is not sick. They have no symptoms. They might not even know that they have the TB germ inside of them until they have a TB skin test or a different type of blood test. That person is not contagious. However, if they could go on to develop active TB later in their life. Not necessarily is that guaranteed, but they could. Active TB is what's so significant. Active TB is when the person is infected with a TB germ and the person is sick and is very contagious, and can be very contagious. And those symptoms can include night sweats, weight loss, coughing, a persistent cough that's lasted for a while, coughing up blood, loss of appetite. There's numerous, and usually the TB germ infects the lungs. That's what we typically think of it, but it really can affect any organ of the body. But what we're most concerned with is when it affects the lungs, when it's pulmonary, active TB, because that's when it can spread to other people.
How do you know, or how do you zero in on the possibility of TB when the symptoms are the same symptoms that a lot of other, flu perhaps, or, you've just got a bad cold, or you might be getting the measles, or whatever. How do you zero in quickly? I mean, is it through tests only? I mean,
Yeah, and it can be a little bit slower at times, and this is true for any medicine, right? It's just that we share a lot of symptoms. We're coming off with other respiratory from COVID-19, that is a cough, right, and tired,
mm-hmm.
you know, and loss of appetite and some things that share similar. So in any medical professional, you know, it's just called differential diagnosis. So, you know, this person has an ongoing cough. Why do they have it? Well, initially, okay, we're going to go with the flu. I think most likely it's this. But then that doesn't resolve. Okay, so then you have to further investigate what's causing this, X, Y, Z. Tuberculosis, unfortunately, is a little bit slower to get to that diagnosis compared to, like, the flu, COVID, other things like that. It requires a skin test, and that skin test is positive. Then you have an X-ray. From that X-ray, then you further in diagnosis from that. But it's a little bit slower compared to the others, but it's really just any medical professional from a nurse to a doctor continuing to follow that patient. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times patients will have can have the flu with tuberculosis too, you know. So sometimes mm-hmm. they might get positive for the flu at the same time have tuberculosis, or positive for COVID and have tuberculosis. So initially, you know, it can be masked sometimes by other infections too, but then when it becomes that persistent cough, especially respiratory,
mm-hmm.
that's eventually a medical professional will get to that point to say, you know, we need to do a TB test.
Do you get an indication on the period of time, how long the child had TB? I mean, was it very recently? You mentioned that it could be dormant for a long time. Is there any way of knowing which of the two is true?
Depends. That's part of what we uncover, hopefully, when we do our case investigation, is we get with the person and we ask about travel, about anybody who they've been around who's been sick recently. We try to uncover where it possibly could have come from. But that's not always possible, so we do the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say until we do a thorough investigation in most cases.
Do you know at this point if it originated likely in Mojave County, or this child had gone traveling to another state, another country, or anything like that?
We don't know at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
And we can't say if it was a child or adult or whatever. We're just going to have to say it's
an
individual to respect for HIPAA. But, you know, on those points, and it goes back to when did symptoms start, how long the symptoms been going on, what treated. So it's an investigation. And, you know, in this case, we identified that, you know, it was persisting during the last school year and during the first month of June, with exposure in summer school. So there's no active case as school started last August 1st, I believe,
mm-hmm.
or last Wednesday. Children are returning to school. There's no active case on the school this school year at all. This is really going back 2 months. With TB2, you have an 8-week window. Once you've been exposed, you have mm-hmm. to be tested after 8 weeks to see if you come up. That's how long the bodies can take to respond to it. So we do. In this case, unfortunately, we're not going to have that eight weeks. So anyone that's mm-hmm. tested before 8 weeks, then we could say, like, okay, then we're going to look at most likely they got exposed somewhere else, not by this case. Because if they're coming up positive, that means they traveled, another family member, or something mm-hmm. else, they got exposed outside of this. In this case, we're not going to know. We're only going to be able to examine a positive, and we're just going to have to assume that it possibly from this case. So,
we mentioned earlier that TB is contagious. How contagious? How likely it is it was in a community setting, there were hundreds of others that mm-hmm. potentially, what is the likelihood that a number of them have it as well, or perhaps none?
That depends. It depends on how infectious the person is who's infected. It depends on how vulnerable the person is who's been exposed. It depends on how long they spent time together, their proximity. It varies. Another thing that's significant about this case mm-hmm. is not only the number of potential exposures, but that a large proportion of them are children. And children fall into a group that are at higher risk because their immune systems are immature and might not be able to control that TB germ if they get it in their body. So instead of it, you know, a healthy adult being exposed to a TB germ and they have it in their body, their immune system strong enough and developed enough to where they can keep it under control and not make them sick. So they have latent TB. A child's immune system or somebody who has a compromised immune system, their body might not be able to keep that TB germ contained, and so it develops into active TB instead of keeping it as latent TB inside their body. So that's it just depends on a variety of factors.
You know, another common one that might help people understand it too, like when somebody's infectious, non-infectious, is chickenpox. So people, you know, many of us get chickenpox, and then later in life, it becomes shingles. And that's what shingles is, you know. So it's like, so they got chickenpox, but once they get over it, they're no longer infectious. But that virus is still in your body that whole time. And then when your immune system weakens when you get older, it reactivates and becomes shingles. And so that just shows that. So the whole time, they're never infectious. But when a person has shingles and they have the active shingles, they are infectious and somebody can get chickenpox from that. So it's another way to example to say that. So even if when we go into our testing, if somebody comes up positive on the skin test, doesn't mean they're infectious. It just means that they may be latent and they could, like many of us, carry it for the rest of their life and it can never activate. Just so people understand that you know, even if we get some positive cases from here, they're not going to be considered infectious. So.
Is this individual quarantined in any way, shape, or form? And how? How are they quarantined?
So this individual currently, you know, once they're diagnosed, when any time they are currently being treated and following quarantine, if they're hospitalized, a person's put into a negative pressure room. Hospital staff does have to enter with an N95. Then at that point,
N95 mask, right?
That's yeah, N95 mask. You know, any nurse or medical professional enters should wear an N95 when they walk in the negative pressure room. Once they go home, then there's a monitoring system that we have, and then there's continually testing of the sputum to see how active it is. And then it is a lengthy process. It takes up to a year of medications, and we, the public health, actually has to witness them take the pill. It's part of we have to actually witness that there's compliance to taking the medication, and it takes anywhere from 6 months to a whole year to treat that, because it's a very long process.
Is that like a pill a day, or how often do you take it? Do you know?
Several. There's different regimens, but it typically involves several different antibiotics. And yes, it's typically on a daily basis for multiple months. And then, of course, like Dr. Kingsley had mentioned, we're also gathering of their sputum, of their spit, occasionally to then determine if the bacteria is dying. So sometimes if it's determined after several months of these antibiotics, these specific antibiotics, if the bacteria is still showing up in their spit, in their sputum, then maybe we have to change to a different type of antibiotic to try to kill it.
What about the family itself, which would be the ones most likely to be exposed on a continuing basis? Do you give them a pill as well, just in case, or no?
Only if they're active. When you have active, latent can be treated too, correct? Yeah, latent can be treated, especially if we show it in different parts of the body. Active TB case is a respiratory case that can transmit. It would just be the same family. They're going to follow the same procedures. It's going to be tested to show if they're active or latent or where they're at, and so we just follow the same protocol.
How, compared to other diseases that are out and about right now, how dangerous is TB compared to them? Is it any cause for any kind of alarm or concern?
Active TB, if it goes untreated, can result in a person's death. Absolutely. Of course, just like with most diseases, the sooner it's treated and we can intervene, the better. But again, it depends on factors as how dangerous it is and how infectious it is. How easily it spreads. So, but yes, active TB can definitely be dangerous.
Got a lot of press that responded to this when we got the word out ourselves in the county. I'm wondering, we talked about rarity of it a little earlier. Not that rare, but they reacted like it was. Do you know roughly how many cases in the United States there are each year, roughly?
I can tell you, I don't know off the top of my head, but
okay.
CDC, and then of course each state health department has all those statistics. Again, it's not nearly as well known and as spread as easily as it used to at one time. In the United States, our rates are much lower than in some other countries. In underdeveloped countries, it's endemic. It's well known. It's still very well spread very easily. It's in the community. It's not unknown for people to have TB in some of these other countries, these underdeveloped countries.
When was that? I may not have this correctly, but would you say its peak was back in the 1880s? In more recent years, I'm talking about when it was known as consumption and when it was scary, so to speak.
I would say up until we had antibiotics, as Lynn pointed out, it was the number one killer, in humanity. It was the one that spread easiest, and consumption. We know it because our Western movies, I would say, and stuff. But as I said, we detected it in the Pharaoh. So it's been around. It's something that's always been there and been the number one killer, because I think it was the easiestly spread. And then there was no treatment, and people could recognize, because it's not a quick disease. It takes time to infect, and it's a lot slower process. That's why the treatment takes. I think that it seems less familiar and I would plug, this is the public health, what public health does for our nation. So we consider ourselves a developed nation, and so we have public health, and public health prevents. So we go out and prevent. So that's why we only have 1 to 2 cases that we monitor, because we actively monitor tuberculosis.
Mm-hmm.
That's your public health doing that. But if you go to another developing country in Africa, in Asia, any of those countries, and you see a higher amount of tuberculosis there, it's just they don't have as much developed public health system. So sometimes that's where the prevention is. We're prevention, and we actually do prevent. You can see the benefits of it in that way, that our developed nation, because we actively seek after it, and we don't see as many deaths for it. It's not as common, but it's always there. I don't think it's going to be going away, but that's the importance of public health. You remove public health, and after 10 years or so, you're going to have consumption, you're going to have tuberculosis back up being a large killer.
Well, can we expect some kind, or should we even have any kind of update on this in the near future, or should we only do that if it becomes more of a problem? In other words, more individuals get involved.
The joy of today is that, anytime for any type of update, on your yearly basis, you can go to your state, and they'll have the numbers because it's reportable.
Mm-hmm.
And on a yearly basis, they'll report, how many TB cases were in the state, in each county, even sometimes down to the cities. They'll be able to report those numbers nationwide-wise, too. Those numbers are collected. So on a yearly basis, you can get an update where tuberculosis is at. For us, it'd be the same thing. We'll follow through on this. At any time any information is requested or numbers, we're more than ready to be able to respond to that, how the response has gone. But on a yearly basis, you can always follow up.
Do we have any other counties in the state of Arizona right now that have active TB cases?
Probably. I wouldn't know, but that information, as Dr. Kingsley had mentioned, is shared on the state health department website. And, again, it's not rare. It's just that we don't see it that often. But absolutely, I can almost probably guarantee there's another active TB case or many out among us in the state.
Thank you, Lynn. I think we've covered this pretty well.
Okay.
We have about 5 minutes left. You had another topic, Dr. Kingsley, that you mentioned, right, that you wanted to...
I don't think we need to. I could put in if you want to include it or not, so... You could ask, well, how do you respond to this, and stuff or whatever? What's your response? And I can just answer from there.
The response? What's the full sentence on that?
So how does public health respond to this active threat of these exposures? Yeah.
How does public health respond to this kind of threat?
So any threat that we have or any emergency within our communities is part of, and it's evolved recently over the last 10 years, really since Hurricane Katrina. FEMA has developed a type of response system, and we call it Public Health Emergency Preparedness. It's called FEP. But with that Public Health Emergency Preparedness, we prepare plans. If this happens, this is what we're going to do. And so anytime we get a response, then we activate what's called the Incident Command System.
Right.
We use the Incident Command System. We've all been trained in it. We do updates. We continue to train, and we have our plans. We have our plan written. We follow the plan, just like, you know, a fire drill at home, like you or at school. You practice for a fire drill. We practice for events like this.
How many people roughly are involved in that?
Anywhere, you could technically say the majority of my department, of the Mojave County Department of Public Health. We try to maintain all of our employees, or at least trained on the basics of incident command system. Mm-hmm. Then we actively keep a command structure trained, and that is up to 15 to 20 people that we meet monthly and have an actively trained and are prepared to respond. We also have the Medical Reserve Corps, which consists of volunteers within our county. They're vetted. You know, they sign up, they're vetted. They're from health professionals to anybody that wants to volunteer, so they could be the person that shows up, you know, if to do the paperwork or security or anything. In fact, when the power went out last year during the summer, during the monsoons and stuff, we responded, public health emergency, and the nurses provided. We're at the cooling centers, you know, to make sure to observe any health like that, so we instantly respond to those cases.
Is there any reason for, is it like a fire where you need to get set up at the site of the incident? Did you all need to go over to Bullhead City, or could you do everything you need to do from Kingman, for example?
Well, anytime it involves a site, we're going to go inspect the site. So we have gone, you know, like for this case, we went to the school, inspect the site, and that's where we're going to do the point of distribution, which we call pods, where somebody shows up and we're going to administer the test and the skin test. So it just depends on that. We're the resource. So also the county has a risk department that follows the same type of incident command system. So if there's fires, earthquakes, a train derailment, the county will respond to that. And a lot of times we're the resource. We're going to set up a family resource center. So if families are separated, they can come back together, or if they need behavioral health, or they need any type of counseling, or they just need resources for water or anything to affect, we're going to be there for that resource, and also to monitor the public health so that other, you know, so when anytime humans congregate or if there's something going on, we also want to help prevent any type of outbreak of, you know, to make a worse situation worse, we try to prevent anything, and we're there for it. So
We've got about a minute left, not very much time, but I'm just curious. The reaction to the people locally, if it was at a school, so there's a lot of parents involved and everything like that, were they reassured fairly easily of the situation and how it was being handled and comfortable with that, do you feel?
I would hope so. I believe that our response was immediate. The minute we knew, you know, we put out news presses as well as did the Bullhead City School District. They have been completely transparent on this. They notified parents. They did press releases. They're working in conjunction with us. We speak with them daily. This is something that they've been amazing partners on. They're working with the city. It has been a great response. And overall, yeah, I think it's going very well.
All right. Dr. Kingsley, thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Lynn Valentine, your guest for the program today. And I think this was very well explained, and hopefully people get a lot out of it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
To Your Health with Dr. Chad Kingsley, Mojave County Public Health Director, and Roger Galloway. Be healthy. Stay healthy. Here's To Your Health.